We believe that this is the inerrant word of the one and only true and living God. It is the only infallible rule for our faith and its practice. So hear now the word of our God from James chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things they need for the body, what good is that? So faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith apart from works is dead. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. It should come as no surprise to you that our Roman Catholic friends love this passage. And in fact, if you ever, and I don't really recommend this, by the way, but if you ever call into Catholic Answers Live and you ask them about justification by faith alone, I'm not allowed to bet. Betting is sinful. But if I was allowed, it would be a very safe bet to say that they will probably take you to this chapter. And they will probably say, oh, no, you see, the only time faith alone is mentioned in Scripture, it says that you are justified by works and not by faith alone. So how then can you say, Martin Luther, that justification by faith alone is the article upon which the church stands or falls? How can you say, John Calvin, that justification by faith alone is the hinge on which theology turns? Doesn't James contradict that? Well, I don't want to give away the end, but the answer is no, James does not. Though one can be forgiven for being confused at the outset. Martin Luther was confused by this passage. And famously and ill-advisedly said that he was so frustrated by it that some days he wanted to just chuck Jimmy in the stove. Not making that up. Well, what should we do? Should we chuck Jimmy in the stove or should we try to see what he has to say? Because as we saw in our confession of faith this evening, works are not unimportant. And that is the important thing to remember. We can be justified by faith and by faith alone, and yet works, doing what God says pleases him, are still important in the life of a Christian. And James makes the case that works are important in the life of the Christian because they vindicate your profession of faith. So what does he say? Well, James lays out faith versus faith. He says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? So James is saying it is possible to say, yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And though you make that confession of faith, it does you no good. Because the person who really believes that will live in a certain way. He likens a dead faith to someone who sees a brother or sister. Now that could be in the context of the covenant community, seeing another church member in that way. I'm going to make it really personal and say, what if you saw your actual brother or sister, like your uterine sibling, same mother, same father, poorly clothed, lacking in daily food, and you said to them, hope you're doing all right. Go in peace, be warmed and filled. Did you actually help that person? Did you actually do anything to change their situation, or did you tell them that you cared about them and did nothing to back it up? The living faith, rather, would be the person who said, oh my goodness, it's in the 20s tonight. Let me give you a coat. I remember when I was in Canada years ago, I made the southerner mistake going up to visit the in-laws, and I forgot my winter coat. But that's okay, right? I mean, you just run really fast from the door to the car, right? Well, this elderly Canadian couple was so horrified that I had gone to Canada in December with no winter coat that I actually happened across the picture today. They gave me a hat and a scarf and a big winter coat and gloves, and I'm in the picture kind of standing like this because I'm so bundled up. But they didn't want me to be cold, so they gave me what I needed. Or you see someone who is hungry. Which person actually is a neighbor to the person who is hungry? The person who says, I hope you find food, or the person who says, here, I got you some food. See, there's a difference, right? Both people said they cared about the person, but which one actually did? And then James contrasts, he at first contrasts faith versus faith, and then he contrasts faith versus faith. He does it again. It's a very Hebrew thing he's doing, making the same point over and over in slightly different angles. He says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. So the devil himself knows everything I said in the Apostles' Creed is true. The devil himself knows that there is only one living and true God, that he exists eternally as three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The devil himself has a completely orthodox Chalcedonian definition of the doctrine of Christ's hypostatic union. And it does him no good, because though he knows all of that truth about God, he hates it. Though he knows all of that true theology, he despises it. That's why Reformed theology historically has defined faith in three different ways, sort of three legs of the stool. There's cognitio, right? Knowing information. There's assensus, right? Assenting to the truth of that information. And then there's fiducia, where you receive and rest upon Christ and all that he has done for you. That means admitting that you're a sinner. That means admitting that you need a savior. That means admitting that you can't save yourself. And that's the difference between the true theology that the demons have and the faith that God's people have. Finally, James doesn't make this contrast, but I'm going to. There is a difference between justification and justification, because it's the same word in the Greek. And R.C. Sproul, when he was alive, sort of drew this out better than I've ever heard anybody. Right? Because Paul really hammers hard on the fact that it is faith, not works. And James hammers really hard that it is faith with works and not faith alone. And so Dr. Sproul said, you know, it would have been really good if they had used two different Greek words, but they didn't. They used the same one, dikaios. Dikaio, dikaiosune, same word. And it would have been great if maybe they had used different Old Testament examples, but they quote the same verse. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. So what is the difference then between justification and justification? Well, I would argue that what James is doing here in this text, where he says, and the scripture was fulfilled, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. He is saying that the promise of God was vindicated when Abraham offered up Isaac. That Abraham was declared righteous when he believed God. God said, dikaiō, I declare you righteous. But James is talking about the vindication for everyone to see. This is much the same way that Christ uses this same word in the Gospels when he said, wisdom is justified by her children. And so just as in much the same way in English, you can have one word that means a lot of different things. Trying to think of an example right now, but you know it's true, right? Pass. Are you talking about being on a football field? Are you talking about someone offering you something? You say pass. It means completely different things. It's the same word. I believe that James is using the word justification in this chapter to mean vindication. So in other words, someone has made a profession of faith. How do we know that it's genuine? Well, the one who has a genuine faith will submit to God's word, will do what God's word says. Won't just say to someone, go in peace, be warmed and filled, but will actually help them. Won't just say, oh yeah, I believe there's one God, but will seek to honor and glorify the one true God. Won't just say, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go, but will actually do it. Because the one who will actually do it has received that righteousness of Christ, has the Spirit of God working within them, has no dead faith, but a faith that works through love by the power of the Spirit working within them. This is not simply what an old youth pastor of mine called easy believism, what a lot of people will call ticket punched theology, right? Where every head bowed, every eye closed, come, you know, walk the aisle, come to the altar, even though there's no sacrifices happening, whatever. Walk the aisle, come to the altar, say this prayer, your ticket is punched, you're on the train to heaven. James is saying, no, if you have a true profession of faith, then it will have good works. What are good works? Well, what is pleasing to God? It's revealed in his word, in his moral law, which we don't keep to earn his favor. We keep because he has given us his favor. And as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith apart from works is dead. But thanks be to God, we have the spirit, where in Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about that to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. We have that life-giving spirit within us that will cause us to walk as our Savior walked, more and more dying to sin and living to righteousness. For Christians, this is the word of the Lord. And thanks be to God. Let us pray.